This is Let's Talk with Mark Elfstrand on AM 1160. Once again, here's Mark.
Well, friends, good afternoon. And today, the U.S. team is playing soccer against Ghana. And the last time I checked, the U.S. was up 1-0. Didn't Ghana beat us at the last World Cup? I think they did. One of the teams that it plays hard and fast. And, man, and when Ghana plays the U.S., let me tell you something. I mean, those people are crazy when they win. It is over the top. Well, in any case, good to have you with us for our second hour here today. And in this next 25, 30 minutes, we're going to be speaking with Dr. George Koch, who is senior pastor of Resurrection Anglican Church in West Chicago and the host of What We Believe and Why, heard Sundays at 1 p.m. here on AM 1160. Pastor, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today.
Mark, it's a pleasure. Glad to be here.
You know, I saw two articles last week, and, you know, as I was reading these, one of them was about hijacking Jesus. It was a commentary from Michael Medved, and you could tell he was very irate about this, saying that the Pope had come to visit, and during this time, some Palestinian, quote, propagandists presented him with a fake ID card listing Jesus' nationality as Palestinian, family members of Gandhi and Mandela and King and Yasser Arafat. And then apparently it was a Jesus was Palestinian campaign. And so he was pretty worked up about this. And I thought, who am I going to talk to get some perspective on this? Because so often in the Christian faith, we tend to line up with Israel, and I'm not sure that that's wrong. I'm just saying, you know, how do you get some balance to love? Because there's plenty of Palestinians that love Jesus. Now you've got a ministry in Israel. How do you process this?
Well, first of all, I don't think we ought to try to do our theology or our Christian life based on political stunts. Even if they were stunts that we agreed with, that's really not a good basis of theology. I think we need to look to Scripture and to the life of the church in order to find out what we believe and why we believe it. And this is a perfect example of that, because when Jesus was born in Israel, he was born in Bethlehem. He grew up in Nazareth and a little town near there called Zipporah. And all of that is Judah. Hence, Jesus was a Jew. Palestine is a name that the Romans gave to that territory there after they had destroyed the temple in 69 AD. So the word Palestine is a Roman word applied to that land after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. So it doesn't make any sense whatsoever to call him a Palestinian other than to try to make a political point.
Okay, so let's come back to the issue of here we are, believers living in the 21st century, and so much of the tension that we hear that goes on between Jews and Arabs, mm-hmm. Now we're trying to figure out, okay, do we defend Israel, at least in conversation, in terms of our politics, or at least the support of the political system in our country, for Israel, or should we be doing much more to show Palestinians that we love them?
Well, I don't think that's an either-or. I think it's a both-and, which, of course, is a very Anglican answer. But the truth is that Israel is a territory given by God to Abraham, and actually a much, much larger territory than what is today modern-day Israel. It's affirmed again in Joshua. And if I'm a Bible believer, then when I read my Bible, I believe that that is true, as opposed to if I'm just a modern sort of agnostic 21st century rational Westerner, I might look at that territory and that area differently. But as a believer, I have to place my faith in the Scripture, which feeds me, which sustains me, which assures me of my redemption and salvation. And when I read that Scripture, it says that that land was given to Abraham and his descendants for all time. And I have to continue to believe that's true. Now, you might raise the question, well, is that Isaac? Is it Ishmael? Who's the descendant?
Yeah.
And this is where it gets a little complicated today, because Muslims, not Arabs necessarily, there are plenty of Arab Christians and Arab agnostics, and not all Arabs are Muslim, and not all Muslims are Arabs. But Muslims look back at Abraham, and they say, that's right, God did promise all of this territory to Abraham, and we've inherited it through Ishmael, who was the son of Sarah's servant by Abraham. In fact, they would even say that Genesis 22, which is about the sacrifice of Isaac, is a mistaken account of it, and that it was actually Ishmael that Abraham took up on the mountain to sacrifice. So there's a lot of rewriting of history. Remember, Islam came about just in the 700 years after the time of Jesus, thereabouts. So when it looks back at that scripture, it is rewriting what has been there in Genesis 22 for millennia. And it's not Ishmael sacrificed, it's Isaac. And Isaac is seen as the true heir. And Ishmael goes off, and it says that he'll be at enmity with his brothers for all time. It's not surprising that we see the living out of that prophecy about Ishmael today, because that enmity is certainly still there.
Hmm. Friends, if you're just tuning in, good afternoon. This is Mark Elfstrand, and my guest is Dr. George Koch. And Dr. Koch is the senior pastor of Resurrection Anglican Church in West Chicago and the host of What We Believe and Why. By the way, he has a book also by that title. You can find out more at resurrection.org. And what prompted this conversation today is a commentary from Michael Medved. He's heard on AM 560, by the way. And he was making note that while the Pope was visiting in, quote, Palestinian lands recently, then they took ownership of Jesus with a campaign that said Jesus was Palestinian. Well, Jesus certainly must love the Palestinians, and because as we have read that through all people, Abraham, they said that through Abraham, all people would be blessed. And so that must include the Palestinians as well. Why can't we get more reconciliation on that point, Dr. Koch?
Well, and that's a good question. If you go into Bethlehem today, to the Church of the Nativity, or even just some of the businesses that are there, these are all owned and run by Palestinian Christians. They're not even Muslims that are there. I mean, there are Muslims there too, of course, but there are a lot of Palestinian Christians, and they would desire nothing better than peace with Israel. And in fact, Palestinian Christians in Israel are treated well. They are the beneficiaries of the democracy and the freedom that is present and in Israel. I don't want to say it's impossible for the Palestinians to have a country where there is peace and freedom and each person is allowed to worship as he wishes, but there hasn't been much evidence of that in recent centuries. There has been in previous centuries when the Muslims controlled Spain, for instance. They allowed Christians and Jews to worship freely. But in more recent centuries, it's really sort of gone the other way. And under most Muslim-controlled nations, worship is not free for people other than Muslims. And so that's a fear in Israel and in the Palestinian territories, that kind of freedom for every citizen seems unlikely under the current Palestinian leadership, and particularly since it has recently joined together with Hamas, there is great fear of escalated violence from what there has been previously.
Hmm. Well, if you're just joining us, we're going to take a quick time out here and then continue our conversation with Dr. George Koch. There's a second article that I want to discuss with him, and it has to do with the Presbyterian Church that I believe is preparing to discuss even this week divestment proposals designed to influence Israeli policy at the General Assembly. And their meetings actually, I think, started over the weekend on Saturday. And so there's some pressure here again to once again boycott Israel and force some kind of activity in the Israeli government through economic sanctions. And we're going to talk more about that coming up here in just a moment. And Mark Elfstrand here. Good afternoon. It's the Monday edition of Let's Talk. Glad to have you with us today. And with me by phone this afternoon is Dr. George Koch, senior pastor of Resurrection Anglican Church, a familiar voice to many WYLL listeners. He is the host of What We Believe and Why, heard Sundays at 1 p.m. here on AM 1160. He also has authored a book by the very same name. You can check out more information at the website, resurrection.org. And let me look at this second article with you here. This one really was signed by a number of very pro-Israel groups, quite frustrated at what they're hearing, that the Presbyterian Church, that's the PCUSA, and their General Assembly, who's meeting in Detroit this week. And apparently they're considering proposals to pressure Israel through financial divestment. And amid reports of growing worldwide anti-Semitism, the church's Israel-Palestine Mission Network offers Zionism Unsettled, a study guide that explicitly delegitimizes Israel as a Jewish state. So let's talk about denominations getting involved in this kind of political and spiritual warfare. Good idea? Not a good idea.
Well, you're asking me. I think it's a terrible idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am asking you. Yeah.
I think it's a terrible idea on so many levels. First of all, quite apart from whatever anti-Semitism might be involved, and there could well be, we're told in Scripture that God blesses those that bless Israel. We are told to share the gospel with the Jews. We're told to make them jealous by the way that we love each other. And these kinds of political maneuvers, first of all, are not any sort of demonstration of love for the Jewish people. And secondly, they're ineffective. Israel is the country with the highest output of patents per capita of any country in the world. Technology there is advancing very rapidly. If there was a place to invest money and make money, it would be Israel. So what the Presbyterians will be doing if they remove their investments from there is they'll be reducing their prosperity, but they won't be hurting Israel. There will be plenty of others willing to replace that same money. I think it's a bad idea as a political move, but I also think it's a bad idea spiritually. It's not the way to find peace, is by thinking that you can pressure the Israeli government by not investing in their stock market.
How about the general principle of denominations at large deciding to move into something that is heavily political? And, you know, there, if it was a slavery issue, you might go, well, should the church be speaking out? It certainly seems like we should. But then you can start going down that slippery slope of things like this. And where does one draw the line? If churches about gun control, you pick the issue. Is this too messy for churches and denominations to be dealing with?
Well, personally, I think it is. I think the role of the church, and particularly its teachers, is to teach the whole body of Christ how to think biblically, how to make moral judgments based on the counsel of Scripture. And it's not to direct their people how to vote or how to make political decisions, which are fraught with all kinds of complications and details, none of which come out in any of these debates. I would rather that we equip our people to make solid biblical scriptural judgments and not tell them what those decisions ought to be on a specific issue.
As a pastor, do you get pressure periodically from parishioners who think that why your church ought to be out there out front doing, you pick the particular political moral issue, do you?
I would say every now and then, but it's not particularly pronounced in our congregation.
I've heard it said before from a pastor that, you know, we used to do a lot more of this. We would hand out flyers and do things, and he said, and then it got to be everybody wanted their own political issue, and the church became a lot more about those kind of things, and the gospel lost its place of centrality. Make sense?
That makes sense, because I think the key role of the church is to make better Christians, to really build up the body of Christ, to make the priesthood of all believers a reality. And those priests, all of those believers, should be living and loving as Jesus lived and loved. That's the goal of sanctification. And if our focus instead is on the next issue coming up in a referendum, or what Israel is doing this week, or what Hamas is doing this week, if that's the focus of our teaching in church, then we are failing to equip the priests, who are all of the believers, in their role as that priesthood in the culture and in the church.
We're going to take a quick time out when we continue our conversation here with Dr. George Koch. One of the things that he does, which is very exciting, is he's got a ministry that is connected in Israel. And I'm curious to find out if the gospel has a good place right now in Israel, or whether it's maybe struggling at its greatest at this point in time. We'll find out from him his take coming up in just a moment. 27 minutes after 5 o'clock. Thanks for joining us on Let's Talk today. Mark Elfstrand here, and Dr. George Koch, who you just heard with his message just a couple of moments ago, is our guest. We didn't time it that way, folks. This is just the way it happens. And Dr. Koch is the senior pastor of Resurrection Anglican Church in West Chicago, and he's also the host of What We Believe and Why Heard Sundays at 1 p.m. He's also got a book out, What We Believe and Why, which you can find at his website, resurrection.org. Now, you're part of a ministry that is connected in Israel. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I'm on the board of the Christian Mission Among the Jewish People. It is the oldest Christian missions organization to the Jewish people. It was founded about 1820. And we have a church right in the old city of Jerusalem. It's called Christ Church. It was built in the middle 1800s, still functions to this day, has services in English and in Hebrew, and it's one of the really hot tourist sites for Israelis. They like to come and see what this Christ Church in Jerusalem is, and are intrigued by the fact that it actually has services in Hebrew. And the question you asked just before the break about, is the gospel getting easier or harder in Israel? I'm not sure I have the exact answer to that, but I can tell you that over the course of, I want to say, the last 10 years or so, the number of messianic congregations in Israel, and by that I mean congregations made up largely of Jewish believers in Jesus the Messiah, Yeshua Messiah, has grown from 6 to 160.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, extraordinary growth. And I watch Israeli television when I'm over there, and have several times now heard Jewish people on television programs without Christian audiences, they're Jewish, they're not Christian, say things like this: when Messiah comes, either the Jews will all apologize to the Christians because it's Jesus coming a second time, or the Christians will apologize to the Jews because it's Messiah coming the first time. It's funny that it's said that way, but what it shows is an extraordinary openness to the possibility that Jesus is Messiah. And in fact, I just shared with my congregation this last Sunday, a couple of years ago, I stayed with an Orthodox Jewish family in Bet Shemesh, a little town, a highly Orthodox Jewish town in Israel. And as you might imagine, the dad and I had intense discussions about Messiah and whether Messiah would come and who Messiah was. And there is right now as you may know, enormous messianic fever in the Orthodox Jewish community worldwide, including in Israel. They will dance in the streets and sing songs. We want Messiah now. We want Messiah now. So there's just great messianic fever. And so I asked my friend, I said, what if Messiah came and it was Jesus? And he paused for the longest time, and then he said, that would be okay, just so long as Messiah comes.
Interesting.
And so you see, even in a very, very Orthodox Jew, a Haredi Jew, I mean, this is ultra-Orthodox,
yeah,
that the passion for Messiah is so high now that there is an opening to the possibility that the Messiah might actually be Jesus.
Do you sense, Pastor, that even among Jewish people, that they're, the timing of Messiah, it seems so close? Is that a real thing to them?
Yes, very much so. Much more among the Orthodox than among the secular. But among the Orthodox, yes.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, I want to thank you for giving us some time today to walk through these issues. These are difficult days, and again, when the church gets involved and we start politicizing things, and then it gets kind of uncomfortable or squirrely even at times, then it's good to get some clarification. And I know you're well-read, and you've been over there, and you understand the dynamic, and you love people, and that is kind of priority in the kingdom. So thanks so much for your time today.
Mark, it's been a delight. God bless.
Dr. George Koch again, Senior Pastor of Resurrection Anglican Church in West Chicago. And you probably want to get a copy of his book, What We Believe and Why. You know, in the church, laymen need resources that help them process the faith accurately. And he can help you do that either at his church or in his book, or you can listen to his program 1 p.m. right here on AM 1160. Mark Elfstrand here on Let's Talk. More to come after this time out. Right now, though, let's check traffic.